really excited about today's message. So today's message has been kind of like percolating around in my brain since like September. And that's a little scary because that's a lot of time to think about this idea and to run through some of these things and process through what this might look like. But where it comes from is off of a lesson that our Midpoint students, Midpoint is our middle school ministry that takes place on Wednesday nights. So it came out of this series that they were doing in the first month of the year. So way back in September, they ran this series called Road Trip. And in the Road Trip series, this was the first lesson. And I read through this lesson and the main point of it, and I thought, oh, that is a really, really good thought right there. And so then as I read through it, I'm going, wait, this isn't just a good thought for middle school people to think through. Like, this is a good thought for all of us to be processing through and constantly to be processing through. And so I wrote it up on my whiteboard, which there's a picture of that up on my whiteboard. And it's just been up on my, I bet you have to go to the next one. There we go. Yeah. It's been up on my whiteboard since September. And so the question is right there. Are your feet covered in the dust from following Jesus? And is it dust from another? So if it's not the dust from following Jesus, is it the dust from another? And so I went home and I told my wife, like, hey, listen to this thought. This is what they're kicking off the year talking to our middle school students about. And she went, oh, like, that's a good thought. And then we get to talking more and more, and pretty soon Kristen goes, oh, that's kind of convicting. And I went, I'm with you. It's very convicting to have to process through. And so it's just been up there, and I see it over and over and over. And then somewhere in the past few months, I heard this phrase right here, and it's, may you be covered in the dust of the rabbi. And I went, oh, may you be covered in the dust of the rabbi. What's that all about? Like, that's a fun little phrase as well. And in my mind, it sure seems to connect with this idea of, are your feet covered in the dust of Jesus? And so I start digging in a little more and begin to realize where this phrase came from and what this phrase means. And I went, oh, I like this. And it seemed to piggyback off really well from what we did last week. So if you missed last week, I would encourage you to go back and watch the service on Facebook or bring up our YouTube channel and check it out. But last week, we had the same idea of your walk with God. But we had people pop up and just share, hey, here's the things that have been going on in my life. Here's the things that I feel like God is trying to teach me or he's revealing to my heart. And here's the reality of that. If I'm going to be able to share what God is doing in my life and what he's been revealing to me and what he's been teaching me, then I better have some of his dust on me. Like, I better be seeking to walk with him in such a way that the opportunity is even there to get the dust of God on me so that I have something that I can then share and say, hey, here's kind of what that is. And so that's kind of where today comes from and where we're going to just kind of take a look at it. And here's kind of the reality of it. And this played out for me on Friday night, that the dust that I find myself covered in is more than likely the dust that's going to get shared with the people around me. And so my example before I ever had Friday take place was the Super Bowl, because last week was the Super Bowl. If I find myself covered in the dust of the Super Bowl, on Monday I roll into work or I roll into the people I'm meeting and I can share all about the big game. And I can talk about statistics and things that happened and how it was the refs' fault, that the Chiefs were horrible. And I can go through all of these things, right? Because that's the dust that I'm covered in. And it's sitting right there on me, readily available when I get brushed up with someone to go, hey, yeah, oh yeah, that and this. And I rolled into Friday night and we were with some friends and our friends have a son who lives in Kansas City. And so we get to talking about how he's doing and then pretty soon it instantly comes up like, oh, hey, did the sun come up on Monday morning or not? You know, like, how's everybody doing? And I thought, oh, it's so clear that that was the dust, and that dust really fit with someone who's living in Kansas City, and now we just start sharing, and that's what we start to talk about. And so for me in my own life, I just thought, oh, man, this really seems to fit. So today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a passage and try and figure out where does this phrase, may you be covered in the dust of the rabbi, come from? And then look at a little challenge for ourselves to just be thinking through for our own lives in the next week and months to come of what that might be. So encourage you to grab a Bible and go to the book of Matthew. And so I'll always say, I want your eyes falling on the Word of God. I think there's value in you having the Bible in your hand and looking at it, or you bringing it up on a phone or an app to be able to see, because I think that's better for your learning. And I like to highlight, and I like to circle, and I like to underline. People know that my Bible kind of looks like a coloring book of doing those things, but it challenges me then to make those marks and to process through in a greater way. So in Matthew chapter 4, we are early in Jesus' ministry, and a lot of Jesus' ministry takes place, we've talked about this often, around the Sea of Galilee. And I realized this morning I should have thrown the map up there to talk about where this is at. But so around the Sea of Galilee, in today's story, it's taking place in this little fishing village, kind of on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee called Bethsaida. And so this is where it's at when this takes place. And we're going to go and start in verse 18. And here's what it says. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, I'm not sure about you, but if we go beyond Sunday school, kids' Sunday school story. This is a story that a lot of people probably say, oh, I've heard this story before. This is when Jesus calls his disciples and he says, hey, come on, come and follow me. And if I move past little kids' Sunday school of what this story is, I start to scratch my head and go, wait a minute, what's going on here? A stranger shows up on the shore of my little fishing village. And maybe I recognize who he is, and maybe I don't really know who he is. Maybe I've heard people talk about him, or I've seen him a little bit. And he just calls out, hey, you two. Who, us? Yeah, yeah. Come and follow me. Point? Wait. Come and follow me. This is a stranger. And then when I try and think really in today's world, and you go, all right, I'm up hanging out up at the lake here in town, and a stranger shows up on the shore, and he says, hey, Cash and crew, come and follow me. And if I'm Kurt, I'm going, whoa, big fella. Easy. Whoa. What do you mean, come and follow you? You want my young boys to come and follow you? Because remember, at this point, they don't have the New Testament. They don't know who this guy is. They don't know this is God's son, the Messiah, who we've been waiting for to show up. They don't know what he's going to go on and do. It's just some teacher showing up on the shores and offering this invitation to come and follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for people. Wait a minute. But when we start to figure out a little bit of the context of the story, and we go back and we look at what's going on in the first century Jewish world, all of a sudden, this story becomes powerful. Because if it's me and you reading the story, right now today, having the New Testament, knowing how this whole plays out, knowing who Jesus is, and he shows up on the shores of the little cedar over here, and he calls to my kids, hey, come and follow me. I'm going to push you out of the boat, right? We're pushing you in. And we're going, hey, do you mind if I come along too? Like, I'll follow. I'll be quiet. I'll just watch. But if I don't know all of that, then why is it that four, in just this little passage that we read today, are willing to give everything up and just go and follow this guy standing on the shores calling out to them? So I started digging a little bit to try and figure out, hey, what is all going on here? And I listened to this guy to explain this. And he explains it in a really, really simple way, which I love, but I understand it's probably a little more complex than this. But there's a guy named Rob Bell. It's from a teaching from a number of years ago. It's probably 10, 12 years old, actually. And as I listened to it, I thought, oh, this is a great understanding to help paint this picture of what's going on. And when I understand what's going on in this story, all of a sudden, it's a really impacting passage. And those four words, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Four words. And those four words, I question if it was three, sorry. Those four words, they become really powerful, really, really fast. So, first century world, in the Jewish world, so kids would start around the age of four or five, and they would begin to go and start to learn the Torah. And the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. So our first five books of the Old Testament, that's what the Torah is. And the word Torah literally means teachings, instructions, or the way. So they would go to school and they would start to learn the Torah. And so for the next 4, 5, 6 years, that's what they're doing. They're just learning all of these teachings and these instructions. The Torah was believed to have been given by God to Moses and extremely important to the Jewish faith. And so kids are sitting in school and they're learning this. And ultimately, what they are learning to do is to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament. If you've done any wingman ministry around here, or been a part of doing life with Darren and Cedar Point Church, and even in our student ministry things, we challenge you ever so often to learn a verse. At 5 or 6, they're working to memorize the entire Torah, first five books of the Bible. And so they spend their days doing this and learning these things. And then around the age of 10 or 11, the best students were allowed to continue on in their education. And as they continued on in their education, they would work to memorize the rest of the Old Testament. And in this day, it wouldn't have been called the Old Testament. It just would have been called the teachings, or the might not even have been called the scriptures. Oh, to memorize the rest of that. And then somewhere around the age of 14, 15, 16, if you were found to be the best of the best of the best, if you were found to be the elite, you now got to go and move on. For those that before I'd gone to memorize the Old Testament, if at that age of 10, 11, somewhere in there, if I wasn't the best in my class, I just now went back to my family and I began to learn a trade. Or I went and I worked under someone and I learned a trade. I didn't continue in my education. So around that age, it stopped and it was kind of said, hey, thanks for your effort. Thanks for what you did, but why don't you go and do your part? You're not quite measuring up to be the best. And now after I've invested the next 5, 6 years of my life, and I get to that point where I'm hoping to be the best of the best of the best, to be the elite, now I can apply to be an apprentice of one of the rabbis. So I can apply to get to go and to sit under and to be a student of one of the rabbis. And so then they're going to come along and they're going to question and drill and they're going to find out, are you really good enough? Are you good enough for me to take my time to invest in you that you're going to become one of my pupils? That you're going to become one of my students. So do you know it well enough? And do I really believe that you can do this? And for those that were chosen, that at the end of all of that were chosen, this was a great honor of prestige and stature for them and for their families. You can imagine, right? They've poured in all of this time. Each time they've been considered the best and then the best of the best. And now I finally get chosen. I get to become an apprentice of the rabbi. And now I'm going to go and I'm going to do life with this person. I'm going to walk closely with them. I'm going to follow them everywhere they go. I'm going to leave my family and my community behind. And I'm going to go and learn to become just like the rabbi. And that's where this phrase, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, came from. And it meant so much. Because that's what you were striving to get to hear from the people around you. Because only the elite got to hear that phrase. Only those that had proved they were worth it got to receive that statement. And so then they would leave and they would follow this rabbi. And you can picture then the idea of them being covered in the dust of the rabbi. And the opposite happens for all of those who have been told, hey, guess what? Thanks for your effort, but you don't quite measure up. You're just not quite good enough. I like you, but I just don't believe in you. And in a sense, it just communicates, hey, you're just ordinary. So for as much prestige and stature that came, for those who had received that declaration, it communicated the opposite to all the others who hadn't had that spoken to them. And so we roll back into our passage out of the book of Matthew. And we are introduced to four young men who are sitting in a boat. And we know that the world has already said to them then, you're just ordinary. You don't measure up. You weren't worth the time to invest in. And now this teacher shows up on the shores. And this teacher looks over at the two men in the boat, probably at the age of 16, 17, somewhere in there. They're young at this point. And he says, hey, you two, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And when you think about that, they've already been passed over. They're sitting there going, you can't be talking to us. We've already been told you don't measure up. It's already been communicated to us. We tried, but we weren't the best of our class. And so we've moved on. And now there's this person standing on the shore, and he's beckoning them to just come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I'm not sure about your version, but mine doesn't say, hey, come, and I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and let's prove you're worth it. Why don't you come and show me you deserve this, and then if you measure up, I'll invite you to come and follow me. The declaration just comes. Hey, come and follow me. And these young men recognize, and their families recognize, this is their opportunity to hear, may you be covered in the dust of the rabbi, and to carry the honor and the prestige that would come from this for their families and for their village that they're coming out of. When we step back and understand that part of it, all of a sudden that kids' Sunday school lesson of come and follow me changes. And it's powerful and it's impacting. Because God says that to us today. He cries out to us today, hey, come and follow me. And we go, yeah, but I know that. But you don't understand. No, I do understand. But I can't, He says, I know what you've done. And when those words, come and follow me, show up on those men sitting in that boat, it communicated, you matter. You're worth it. I believe in you. And in a world that seems to communicate all too often to us, hey, don't quite measure up. You're not quite good enough. To think that God says, hey, come and follow me. And he doesn't say, let's see if you're worth it. He doesn't say, let's see if you've got all the answers. He doesn't say, get yourself cleaned up and then come and follow me, because he just says, no. Come and follow me. What an amazing declaration for us to be willing to accept and to hear, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, and to allow it to declare an amazing truth of God to us, that you are worth it and that you matter. And so it goes back to that question. Would you say you're covered in the dust of Jesus? Are you seeking to do life with God in such a way that the opportunity is there for you to be covered in his dust? And then the question becomes, if I'm not covered in the dust of Jesus, well then, what dust am I covered in? Am I covered in the dust of work? And when I brush up against other people, that's what comes out? Am I covered in the dust of chasing after wealth and money and toys and comfort, the things I want? And now that's what spills out on people? Are you covered in the dust of social media? That at any point, you can share, hey, did you see that post? Did you see what they shared? Did you see that picture they posted? Oh, I'm going to comment on that. Is it sports? Is it a hobby? Is it fishing or hunting or shopping? Is it health and fitness? What is the dust that you're covered in? And if I'm really honest, I don't like to have to look back on things and see sometimes the dust that I'm covered in. And what I begin to realize is when it hasn't been a great week, or when I feel like at work I just haven't been there, or when I feel like my wife and I are just kind of at odds with one another for whatever reason, we're just pushing each other's buttons because that's how you know, like, your spouse's buttons, you know how to push the best. Or when I recognize, man, I'm really annoyed with my kids this week. I can look back and I go, wait. That's because I'm not covered in the dust of Jesus this week. I'm covered in the dust of this and some of the dust of that. And maybe I've got just a little sprinkling of Jesus on top of that. And that affects not only my life, but that affects the lives of the people around us. And so it's being willing to take an honest look and go, wait. What is that dust right now that I find myself covered in? And I know it's a journey. That's part of it. I get that. But here's the thing. What changes when I find myself covered in the dust of Jesus? So I've taken the time that I need to do to be in the Word, to gather with like-minded people, to be in prayer, to be in worship, whatever it is for you that draws you to the heart of God. So what's it look like to be covered in the dust of Jesus and now to get to go and enjoy all of those other things we just said? What's it look like if I'm covered in the dust of Jesus and now I just take it into my workplace? And as I'm interacting with other people, that dust is falling off. And I take it with me to sporting events. And I take it into the classroom and the hallways. And I take it to Quick Star to get some lunch. And I take it to Subway or to Casey's or in my community. What happens when I pop on social media and I'm covered in the dust of Jesus? And now when I'm commenting on things, now when I'm looking at things, that's what's starting to sprinkle off of me and onto other people. I think that has a pretty positive effect on the people around me. I think it has the potential to be extremely impacting, and I think it has the opportunity to be eternally impacting on the lives of the people around me. Because now I'm covered in the dust of Jesus, and I still get to go and enjoy all of these other things. All of the things we've named, those are great things. God gave us work, right? He gave us work to do. I think lots of great things come from social media. I love sports. But if they're the things that dominate who I am and where my fulfillment is coming from, that changes things. And so it's just beginning to figure out, hey, wait, what's it look like to be covered in the dust of Jesus and then to take that with me wherever I go? And here's what's fun. For 10 years, people have been a part of Cedar Point Church who have been making a decision to be covered in the dust of Jesus and then just to take it out to everywhere they go. And lives have been impacted. Many of you sit here today because you've interacted with somebody else who had been a part of this church and you showed up. And now your life has been impacted. A lot of you sit here today because you had heard stories and you showed up and you experienced something different. And you began to figure out, what is that different? And now you've taken it out and it's impacting the lives of the people around you. And so think of the impact that gets to continue to happen as we keep doing that. And we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Jesus shows up in a little fishing village on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he starts calling those ordinary people. Those people who had already been looked over, who'd been told, you're not quite good enough. And he didn't say, prove your worth it. He said, I believe in you. You can do this thing. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You don't have to do it on your own. You just got to be willing to get covered in the dust of Jesus and let him do what he wants to do. So this week, here's what I want you to process through. Are you covered in the dust of Jesus? And then here's a great question, I think, to ask. How are you different because of the time you've spent with God this past week? And if you say, well, I'm not sure it changed me. I'm not sure it impacted me in any way. Why is that? And what needs to change so that as you roll in to the end of the next week or the end of that night, you can go, hey, wait a minute. That's impacting and changing my life. And if you say, I find myself covered in the dust of something else, what does it look like to just distance yourself a little bit from that? What are some intentional steps that you need to take? Because for me, if I don't move beyond just thinking about it and actually deciding to make some intentional decisions, then the next week I'm just right back in the exact same spot I was. And then I'm looking at my walk going, I'm not sure I did change at all this week for my time with God. I'm not sure it was impacting to my life. What happens in your families and workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in our community, in the state of Iowa, and in the world, when a group of, hear this kindly, ordinary people start figuring out what's it look like to be covered in the dust of Jesus and then just taking that out with us everywhere we go? It's fun to think about the impact of that. Let me pray with you. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for those four words that your son shared with some ordinary people sitting in a boat. Come and follow me. And God, what that communicated to the hearts of those men. To the hearts of all of the people who heard Jesus show up on the scene and teach in a different way and call people to a different way of living. Lord, I pray when we hear those words, we hear you saying over and over, you are worth it. You measure up. You matter. I believe in you. And God, I would pray this week that we would seek to walk so closely with you that it would begin to help us become more like you in our thoughts, in our actions, and in our words. And Lord, might that be impacting to our lives and the lives of people around us. And God, I pray this week you would search our hearts and show us what is it that we might be covered in. If we're not covered in your dust, or if there's another dust that dominates our lives. Reveal to us what that is and what it looks like to just distance ourselves from that a little bit so that that's not what I'm seeking fulfillment from. But I just get to enjoy that part of life while I'm covered in your dust. God, thank you for your love for us, your unconditional love. Thank you for communicating that we matter and that we are worth it. We love you, Lord. Amen.